with the rest of the story. You know, this time of the year, we hear so much about the birth of Christ. We talk about the birth of Christ. But the birth of Christ was just the beginning of a ministry that lasted some 30 years. But these 30 years of ministry has affected this whole world like no other man on earth. What a privilege and awesome responsibility is ours. Like these angels of old, when they sang to the shepherds there on that mountainside, they brought the glad tidings of the birth of the Messiah. They would find them wrapped in swaddling clothes in Bethlehem's manger. We know, I'll share with you again, we know that Jesus wasn't born on December the 25th. It was probably in the fall of the year, but if there's ever a tradition that has been brought into Christianity, it is a tradition that that we can take advantage of because of the goodwill that spread among mankind.
Amen.
An opportunity to uplift Jesus, that he would see Jesus in us. Let me begin my presentation this morning by asking you several questions. Is the story about Jesus coming as a baby in Bethlehem's manger the only cause for a Christmas celebration? Is that the end of the story? And I want to tell you no. Is the birth of Christ an elaborate creation of desperate human imaginations? Or is it God's exact provision for our needs in these days? So I'm not going to spend time on the birth of Christ this morning. I want to look at his ministry, his death, his ascension, the second coming. I want to answer these questions by opening our Bibles and introducing you to six individuals, yet seven, who are going to give different testimonies about why the Son of God came into this world. These witnesses will be Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, the writer of Hebrews, and of course, me. You, folks, you have a story to tell. You know, we can go out and we can study about the Sabbath.
Yeah.
People will argue with us. We can talk about the state of the dead. People will argue with you.
Yeah.
You can open up God's Word and you can share, you know, some of the great doctrinal studies that is written therein, and you will be at odds with your neighbor. But folks, you can tell them what Jesus has done for you, and they can't argue that particular point. God is so good. God is so good. The Bible. The Bible is God's inspired book and therefore is a very powerful witness to its own truthfulness. So I want to look at everything that basically surrounds the birth of Jesus. Not everything, but I'm going to look at some of the things that surround the birth of Jesus this morning. I'm going to begin with his ministry. He came as a ransom for many. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark's Gospel chapter 10. And folks, this is good stuff. When we study God's Word, when we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, you're going to find things that I didn't even think about. But don't just keep them inside. Share it with someone else. Mark chapter 10, verse 40. I'm in the wrong book. Mark 10, 45. We're looking at the rest of the story this morning. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many. Now, folks, we're talking about Jesus. I want you to love Jesus. I want you to appreciate Jesus, to be able to truly wake in the morning and have hearts that are filled with gratitude and thankfulness for the wonderful gifts that He has bestowed upon us. He came as a ransom for many. Why not all? Because what? Because all don't accept. They're all given an opportunity. But all don't accept. The reason we need a ransom to be paid for us is that we have sold ourselves into sin. And sin separates us from God. It alienates us from Him. In fact, to stand in the presence of a holy God, you would be consumed. So in His great mercy for us, He hides from us. When Jesus gave His life as a ransom, our slave masters, Satan, sin, and death had to give their claim on us. They had to give it up. The result was that we could now be adopted into the family of God. Now, in that context, Jesus comes to Bethlehem, He's born there in that stable. And it didn't just end there with that virgin birth. Jesus grew as a young boy, like any young boy, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years of age, even in our day, would grow. They're full of questions. They're full of energy. They have inquisitive minds. They ask questions. And Jesus learnt from His mother. She taught Him the Scriptures. But what a privilege that He had a ministry, that we would be ransomed and now we can be adopted into the family of God. I don't know about you, but there's something very special about family. I love family. That's why last Sunday we took the opportunity. We went up to Dahlonega and we spent the day with our oldest son. Amen. And his family. Folks, there's something good about family. We got there and they had a big meal prepared for us. It was absolutely wonderful to come into the home where it was warm and cheery and have a wonderful meal prepared, the fellowship. And then we were able to, after supper, to sit back and sing songs together. Oh, it just thrills my soul. Tomorrow, we're going to leave and go down to Panama City to be with our youngest boy and their family for Christmas. We'll be back on Thursday of this next week. We'll be here for Sabbath with you. Oh, folks, there's something about family, the fellowship, the camaraderie, the friendship that's an experience of heaven on earth. But I know in every family, they don't have that type of relationship. We are torn between, sometimes families are torn between in-laws. Where are you going to spend the holiday season? But folks, sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from each other. But when things are right in the family, it's good. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm thankful to be a part of the family of God. You know, we sing that song. Yeah. Paul writes it this way in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as sons. In other words, the redemption or the ransom fee, or the ransom frees us to be a part of God's family. Mankind had sold himself into slavery. He was subject to the second death, but God pays a ransom and buys us back so we can have power from that death.
Amen.
That's good news.
Good.
We've got something to share with people. To pay the ransom, Jesus had to become a human being, so he could suffer and die in our place. Now that just boggles my mind. But Jesus loves us with an everlasting love from the creation of the world. He knew us and he died for us that we might live. Folks, that's the meaning of Christmas.
Yeah.
Hebrews 2:14 puts it like this: Inasmuch then as the children have partaken in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil. In other words, the reason Christ took on human flesh, he did so that he might communicate to us the love of the Father and expose Satan for who he was. In John 8:44 it says, he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of native language, for he is a liar and a father of it. This is what Jesus said about the devil. Now let me ask you the question again. Is the birth of Christ an elaborate creation of desperate human imaginations? Or is it God's exact provision for our needs? Did we need to be ransomed?
Yeah.
We did. We needed to be ransomed. Another part of this Christmas miracle. Number two, he came to call sinners to repentance. He came to call sinners to repentance. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. How about somebody standing up and reading that for us? Just two verses in Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32.
Luke 5:31 and 32. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Thank you. Now, folks, just ponder this for a moment. We think of the Christmas season, and it's a time when we give gifts. You know, the merchants get rich because we want to give things. And that's good in the sense that we want to give things. Sometimes we give extravagant things. We give things and we're in debt for the rest of the year trying to pay these things off. Sometimes we give things and it might be a pair of socks or an handkerchief and is not appreciated. But folks, it's not the size of the gift or how big it is or how expensive it is. It's the thought that counts. He or she was thinking about me. Our hearts should go out in gratitude. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's our example. We have a work to do. Like Jesus, it is our ministry to call sinners to repentance. Did you know that? In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, to study about the Sabbath is very important, but what's more important in my mind is to be able to share God's love with someone else, to be able to share what God has done for you.
Amen.
And they too want that same blessing. Then you can study about the Sabbath. Then it becomes important. That's what Christmas is all about, I believe. Number three, in this old, tied up in this old magnificent bundle of this virgin birth, he came to give sight to those who are morally blind. In John 9:39, Jesus said, "For judgment I have not come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." Then a complimentary text in John 12:46, he says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." The Christmas story is not just about a baby born in Bethlehem. Folks, the story is about ministry. His ministry was not just about being born. His ministry just wasn't about a ransom. His ministry is about preaching and teaching and healing the sick. His ministry is about people following him. His ministry is about opening people's eyes so that they can see the light and walk in it. Can you think of a more appropriate gift for the season? And then there's a one dealing with Christ and his ministry. There's a text that bothered me for many years. It's found in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 36. Now this is a part of Christ's ministry, but listen to it. "Do not think that I am come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those in his own household."
Yeah.
Now listen, folks. The point of this text is not that God loves division and strife. God does not like confusion. He does not enjoy division and strife. The point is that strife and division will follow if you cut your ties with the world and give your allegiance to Jesus. That's the way it is. Folks, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist Christian and cut my ties with the Legion, you know, that was... Instead of going to church once on the weekend, we went to the Legion. I don't know, you have the American Legion down there. It's the same we have the Canadian Legion. But in there, they have a bar set up, and they usually have a band on a Saturday night, and there's dancing, and you know what goes on in that place. But when I cut my ties with that place, do you know that I lost over half my friends? Oh, probably more than that.
Yeah.
Probably all of them. Because every one that I talked to, not one of them decided to follow Jesus. You see, another point to be made. When a person accepts Jesus and is given new sight, something radically happens to him. We're not going to walk the same way that we walked before. When people accept Christ, they see everything differently with this new sight. They choose now to serve a new master, and some in the family are threatened and tension develops. They have now had an opportunity to follow Jesus. For this Jesus came into the world to save those who are lost. That's the meaning of Christmas. Now, folks, I can go back some 30-something years back to the fall of 1970. That's when I started to study. Dawn and I started to study. We went to an evangelistic series. And when I started to witness to my dad and my mom and my cousins and aunts and uncles or anybody who would listen, they thought that I was crazy. In fact, my dad said, if you want to be a Christian, you can be a Christian, just as good a Christian in the Episcopalian church as you can in that Advent church. He says, they're crazy people up there. They don't even know when the Sabbath is. They go on the wrong day of the week. And furthermore, he says, if you go up and you're baptized, he says, I'll be there with my shotgun and I'll shoot you and the preacher. Now, I want to tell you, folks, my dad, when he made a threat, it usually wasn't a idle threat that he made. I talked to the pastor about it, and the pastor says, well, it's up to you, but as for me, we're going to have a baptism. And he encouraged me to be in it. And he says, if we are to lose our lives while you are being baptized, he says, the angels in heaven will still rejoice. Some good will come out of it.
Yeah, right.
I went ahead, and of course, I was baptized. And my dad knew where I was going that day. But you know, he didn't show up. And I believe God had something to do with that. We came home and we went to the house. And do you know what they were serving? Lobster and crab legs. Now, we have these big king crabs. I don't know if you're acquainted with king crabs. They bring them in. I mean, the fishermen in Newfoundland, they bring these in. 40,000-60,000 pounds at a time. They go out for a couple of days. These great big crabs, you got to bring them in, they got to be alive. And then they twist the legs off them and freeze them. But when these things are cooked, we would put them in a wringer, you know, old-fashioned wringer rubber thing you put on to wring your clothes through. You put them crab legs in, and it would just push the meat out. And I thought that lobster and crab meat was the most delicious. But I wouldn't eat unclean foods anymore. And they thought I was nuts. My dad came and he tried to tease me to have this lobster tail. And I says, no. But my mom had also prepared corn. As a boy growing up, we did not like corn on the cob. I didn't like corn. But do you know what? Corn tastes just like lobster and crab to me. So every time I eat corn, I'd say, thank you, Jesus. Those in our own family are at a joint with us. Oh, folks. That's too is the meaning of Christmas. If you do it right, you're not going to please everybody. Right. Another wonderful gift from Jesus. He saves us from divine condemnation. He saves us from divine condemnation. John 3, verse 17 and 18. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned. Notice what I says. He who believes in Him is not condemned. Not what I say. Jesus says. He who believes in Him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Folks, the need of salvation implies that there is danger that we need to be saved from. And the danger is sin and death and the devil. Sin separates us from a holy God. But there's something more dangerous than the devil and sin. It's the condemnation of God. Now, if God is for us, then sin, death, and the devil will fail to destroy us. But if God is against us, then nothing can save us. Christmas. Jesus, what a gift.
Yeah.
Jesus is God's way of being for us if we believe. Let me read the last part of the text again. He who believes is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and your household, in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. This is good stuff. The sixth most wonderful gift. Jesus came to give us eternal life, and what a gift that is. Folks, we don't have to wait until the second coming to experience this gift. We can be experiencing that gift today. Our hearts should be filled with gratitude and joy every day for this most wonderful gift. Christmas means that God always sends the very best. From Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4. He forgives your sins, every one of them. He heals your diseases, every one of them. He redeems you from hell. He saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy. It's a crown in paradise. He wraps you in goodness and eternal beauty. He renews your youth. You are 21 years of age forever in his presence. How about the gift of forgiveness? The gift of laughter, the gift of companionship, the gift of families, the gift of eternal life. Is there anything that can compare? Not hardly. Let me encourage you to believe in Jesus and receive that new life, a life that will magnify God in Christ. Along with the gift comes God's most marvelous grace, so you might share your life with others. You know, there's a song that we used to sing, and I was reminded in our morning worship book just a few mornings back. We don't do it as much, but when I came into the church, we used to sing this little chorus. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Have we become so caught up with things? Have we been so caught up with God's goodness, the blessings that he pours upon us? You know, we have nice homes and furniture, and most have a couple of automobiles, and there's usually a TV and just about every room. We have an abundance of food in the country in which we live. And maybe we have come to take all this for granted. But first, when I came into church, folks, we used to sing this little song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. So I want to appeal to you today by asking the question, what has God done for you? Stop. Take some time and think. Don't hurry through this. If you can, write down what God has done for you. Not just the forgiveness of your sins. That is a most wonderful gift. But write down, make a list. And then show your gratitude. Sing songs of praise. Thank God for what he has done. Tell him how grateful you are. And then take your list and go and share it with someone else. I believe with all my heart. You share that list with others, what God has done for you. Not only will you be blessed, but you will be a blessing for others. Folks, we can experience Christmas every day of the year.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait till December 25. We can have hearts that are filled with gratitude. We can receive these gifts, and we can thank Jesus. Every morning we can unwrap something special spiritually. We can grow in His grace. This Christmas season, it's my desire as you spend time with your families, maybe families are coming home to spend time with you, I trust that we would be safe on the highways. I trust that there would be harmony in the home. I trust that would be a little heaven on earth. May God bless you. This holiday season is my desire and my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Let's close with him.